When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
You are listening to Pacific Beer Chat. We are a collective of West Coast beer bloggers sharing our opinions on events, issues, and well-crafted brews. We discuss both local and international issues and aim to educate and entertain. We are a part of the Hopped Up Network.
This is Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Steve.
I'm Warren.
And I'm Tim.
All right. For this episode, we're going to move to the Okanagan.
Woo!
It's a great place to drink beer, and especially in the summer when it's fucking hot.
Yeah, that helps.
All right. Well, Mike from Tin Whistle Brewing has sent us a couple samples of two of their newest beer.
Okay.
So we're going to start out with their Twisted Hazy Pink Guava Pale Ale.
What?
Goddamn.
It's refreshing guava paired with Citra Amarillo hops. Create a velvety, smooth, and juicy, hazy pale ale. It's 5.8% alcohol, 40 IBU. Now, this is definitely not a murky IPA. I've had a bottle already.
All right.
I just want to say that label kind of looks like President's Choice brand guava juice. I'm sorry. I don't really want to beat up on their marketer, but it is not a beery looking label.
It's a very juicy looking label.
Yeah. For anybody who missed that, because that's a long title, this is the Twisted Hazy Pink Guava Pale Ale. Just
expialidocious. Just...
This is our third episode of the night. We're a little drunk.
What are you talking about?
Speak for yourself.
Willis.
Yes. Okay, so, yeah, okay, it's clear, so it's not all that hazy.
It's
a little. It's obviously like, turned on.
Again, it's slightly hazy.
It's got a
And I'm sorry, but there's no pink.
No. It's pink not guava. The color. It's pink guava.
Oh, pink guava, sorry. Is there different kinds of guava?
Yeah.
Different colors?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your normal guava is green.
Excuse my ignorance.
Inside. So pink guavas have a slightly more subtle character.
Okay. That does smell lovely.
Yeah, I am getting the guava aroma for sure.
Oh, and I love guava. I think it's just one of the best smells ever.
Mm. It's like that tropical fruity thing, right? Yeah.
That is a juicy, big nose. I like it.
Yeah, there's no mistaking that guava aroma. Not much else competing with it.
It's just kind of a guava-y, fruity flavor or aroma.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not getting any grain or caramel or hop over the top. It's guava juice and a little alcohol and some carbon dioxide.
But even the flavor's not super complex. It's quite guava. You get that little bit of the graininess and stuff.
Yeah, you're getting some grain in there, definitely.
That's not complex, but nice.
It kind of comes off like a Session ISA that's got guavas in it.
Light body. Yeah. Nice and crisp, clean.
Oh, and there's a, I get a little bit of, does it have mosaic in it?
What did it say here? Amarillo and Citra, or I'm listening to a lot of California podcasts, so Amarillo, but Amarillo and Citra.
So it's got a bit of a dank in the finish.
A little bit. This is interesting. It's really fruity, but clean. And,
You know what? I kind of want to rag on it and make fun of it, but it's actually pretty nice.
Yeah. Right. Like, I almost can't think of what nice to say about it other than it's pleasant. I like it.
If we were sitting in the Okanagan 4.5-5 months from now
on a hot day
and it's 40°C and I'm basically schwitzing everyone else down with my spray sweat and it's so hot we're dying. This is ice cold and on draft.
No,
I'm drinking all of it.
I'm sitting my ass down in Okanagan Lake drinking this. I'm happy.
Mm. Have you ever been to Bromley Rock?
Yes.
No, actually.
Bromley Rock.
No.
It's on the side of the highway.
Yeah, it's on the side of the highway, but
it's a beautiful spot.
Whereabouts? Which highway?
I think it's the crow's nest,
yeah,
isn't the crow's it?
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
And so you fill up your inner tube and hop into it, and you slather yourself with all the sunscreen you own, and float down it drinking beer out of your little cooler.
There's a provincial campsite or a picnic spot or something there, too. It's a nice little stop just to stop and have a beer and chill out and have lunch or whatever.
It's pretty, and it's nice and cool, even if you just stick your feet in the water to chill out.
Yeah.
But yeah, floating down Bromley Rock, I got a third-degree sunburn. It was awesome.
Go figure.
Hospital grade sunburn.
Oh, damn.
Got a pale white guy.
Yeah.
Red hair.
You can see me from space. But no, back to the beer.
It's a damn good beer.
Yeah.
Mm, I like it.
It's fruity. It's straightforward. It's clean. Flaw-free.
Yeah, this would be amazing on a patio in the middle of the summer.
Yep. Yeah. I almost wish this came out in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure as long as it sells well, they're going to keep bringing it back. And it'll come back in the summer.
And this should sell well. It deserves to.
You know well.
If I see it in my local in summer when I'm hot and thirsty and working out in my yard or whatever, mm-hmm. I would choose this over a lot of other beers.
Me too. Like, as pleasant as sweet, but not cloying. Oops.
Ding. Tin Whistle's really been changing things up in the last little while.
Well, they've been around for a long time.
A long time. And it's been a long time since I've revisited, too, because I think last time I drank their beer, they had a woman as the brewer there.
Could be, yeah.
A brewster. So, Ed's, and I think that was probably 10 years ago.
Yeah. When they moved out of their old location.
Oh, is that right?
They're in the old Cannery Brewing location now.
Okay. Oh, really?
In the Cannery building there.
So, Cannery's moved?
Cannery has a brand new custom-built building.
Huh.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I did not know that.
Interesting.
My company, it's a tilt-up warehouse. My company designed the tilt.
I love the old building, location. I was up there vacationing with a friend one year when we accidentally ran across Cannery, and they hadn't opened yet.
Oh, geez.
They had paper on the windows. They had paper on the windows and everything, but they were in there, and they were moving water around and working with the system.
How
and we
long
were
ago
peeking
was this?
Between, oh, God, that's got to be, what, 10, 15 years
ago. Okay, yeah, so the old location then.
And we were looking through the paper and watching them, and then they came and knocked on the door or whatever, and we talked to them a little bit. But we were there to have breakfast at the restaurant at the front of the building there.
Okay.
It was very interesting.
Hmm.
But yeah, way back.
Well, nice to see them continuing on to a new strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike is one of the brewers, right? I'm not sure if he's the head brewer now. He's one of the brewers there. His mom is the owner of the company.
Okay.
And I really like where they're kind of going. I mean, I think they suffered from the same thing in some ways that Vancouver Island Brewing did.
Mm.
People just kind of forgot about them. Unfortunately,
well, they had some decent beers back in the day, but I don't think they ever did anything that was so exceptional that everybody was excited about it.
Yeah,
you know,
it's fun that they've seen new from Tin Whistle, because on the liquor store shelves, what I usually see is the same Tin Whistles, the same three,
cream peach thing or whatever.
The three, and I'm kind of like, well, I've had those, they're fine, but
I'll challenge all of you then to. If you haven't tried their beers, and if you haven't had a lot of the Okanagan beer recently, go up to the Festive Ale.
Right.
It is an amazing little festival in Penticton.
Yep.
You know, it's...
I've been several times.
It's been years since I've been. The festival has changed immensely in the last 5 years.
Well, the last time I was there, it felt like the people who were there were more about the consumption than the enjoyment.
The old guard that used to run the festival... It was run that way. The new guard that's running it now have really pushed for quality.
Okay.
They're pushing...
No more of those coolers and stuff served there?
No, it's all now Canadian and I think mostly BC beer.
Okay.
They're pushing, like they bring in beer breweries from the Kootenays that don't come out to Vancouver usually.
Okay.
They're pulling from different areas of the province.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun. I mean, it's April 12th and 13th this year. I'll be there.
Yep.
I'm a judge every year.
Okay.
And it's a lot of fun. I really highly recommend it. And when you're there, stay and go to the Murderers Row Cask Festival. It's one of the most fun cask festivals. They usually have a dozen or more casks. You can do flights of the casks.
Really?
You usually just get a little too drunk, but it's a lot of fun.
Cask beer is always good.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I do enjoy this one.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
I mean, really nice. This is not a New England IPA. It's a slightly hazy, fruity IPA.
I'm not even sure I'd call it hazy.
No, it's not clear.
It's an definitely not clear, but yeah, unfiltered. But it's not really hazy though. It's
got sort of that. It's got like the guava juicy.
Yeah, you know, that's the kind of haze I would expect to see from a normal unfiltered beer.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just not a New England IPA. The haze bros are not going to be like, oh, this beer's great because it doesn't look like milk, right?
There's nothing orange wrong milk. With clear chicken beer. Fat.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm one of those people that loves New England IPAs, love them all the time, but I also enjoy this.
For sure.
I can enjoy a beer that's not, you know, like opaque mud orange.
Yeah.
Mud orange.
Doesn't look like chicken soup.
No.
I like clear beer sometimes.
Sometimes. All right, well, let's get into the next and the second beer that they sent us here.
Oh.
This one is the Tin Whistle Brewing and Wild Goose Vineyards presents Wasted Grape, Gewurztraminer Saison.
Oh.
Cool.
A unique joining of two Okanagan favorites, Gewurztraminer Must combined with a Saison Ale. Dry with fruit and spice notes. 6.8% with 20 IBU.
Interesting.
I'm super stoked that's the grape beer that I made earlier this year.
Yeah.
It was Sauvignon Blanc and Saison.
Yeah, it wasn't a Gewurztraminer, but similar. Yeah,
did you use must or did you use barrels?
I used fresh, not fresh, but reconstituted grape juice.
Okay.
From Sauvignon Blanc juice from New Zealand.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it wasn't grape juice from like the juice aisle then for sure.
Oh no.
I am super stoked.
None of that Concord.
No, the new garbage.
Oh man. No,
he wasn't making wine in his instant pot.
Jesus. God, man. Don't
prison
get me
wine.
Pruno. No, I am super stoked that they decided to go the must route because it's uncommon.
Well,
but
I think you have to technically legally go
say
that
it's
way.
Uncommon. It's uncommon around here, but
right.
Fair
grape
enough.
Beers are a thing.
This has a very interesting
rural Italians
aroma.
Have made grape beers for hundreds of years.
I mean, that granted, and grappa is always a classic at this point.
Right, but fortifying your must with a shot of grape juice or concentrated fortified grape juice, where they take fresh grape juice and boil it down as a source of sugar and add it back into a beer wort, is a thing. Okay. In North America, it was Dogfish Head. That made a grape infused beer.
Yeah.
kind of put them on the map, but they're getting more and more common.
Were they? Are those the Midas?
It was the Midas Touch.
Yes,
yeah.
That was delicious.
Very good stuff. Very delicious.
All right,
this one has
a 2,000 word article to a beer magazine about grape.
I haven't
beer
decided if I like it or not.
To me, it definitely has like a wine grape aroma.
It smells Gewurztraminer-y to me.
I'm still back on the nose, but yeah, it's. It's got Gewurz.
I don't know Gewurz. Oh,
okay.
Don't Gewurz, like wine, right?
Gewurz is easy. Yeah, Gewurz has an aroma like lychee fruit.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
And actually, I get that then, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a specific aromatic compound that is common to both Gewurztraminer grapes and to lychee fruit. So if you've smelled lychees or tasted lychees, you know exactly what Gewurz is like.
This is much drier than I expected.
It does smell like sweetness. It's going to come sweet.
No, but as a saison, I guess that makes sense.
That is delicious and more complex than the previous one. It's got a little more. It's got more layer to it, which I kind of like.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, so the compound I'm trying to think of is linalool.
Oh, I've never heard that word before.
Well, it's also the thing they spray on Fruit Loops to give them the Fruit Loop character. Yes.
Huh.
So, linalool is common to lychee fruit, Gewurztraminer, and Fruit Loops.
Interesting.
But the synthetic stuff they spray on Fruit Loops just is not quite as nice as a good Gewurz.
Well, yes.
Just like diacetyl used to be what they sprayed on popcorn.
I think they still do in a lot of places.
I think they stopped.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
It was causing too many lung problems with the people at the plant.
Well, and not to put too fine a point on it, if you microwave too many popcorns in your house, you would get diacetyl lung.
Popcorn lung.
And die of it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Diacetyl
is a thing, man.
Not a benign compound.
I feel better about my air popper now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to make microwave popcorn, what you do is get a brown paper bag, mm-hmm. just your average brown paper bag, get a cup of popcorn kernels, a couple tablespoons of oil,
a little tiny bit of
salt
oil,
and sugar, stir it up, put it in the bag, and microwave it till it stops.
Or, see that glass jar with the red on it up there?
Yeah.
That's our popcorn popper for the microwave.
Nice. There you go.
I actually like to make it old school on the stovetop.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's the way.
Yeah. But let's get back to this. Let's get back to this.
No, this is Pacific Popcorn Chat. Welcome to Pacific Popcorn Chat. I'm your host, Popcorn Pete.
The only popcorn you should be eating is savory. There we go.
No,
screw that sweet garbage.
Like kettle corn?
No, it's garbage.
Does anyone remember pink elephant popcorn?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Terrible.
Oh, I love the flavor of that dye.
So stale.
It just, the dye had just this weird, bitter, strange taste. Yuck.
Oh, I saw pumpkin spice popcorn. Oh,
God.
I just about died.
That is unholy.
They got pumpkin spice everywhere.
That was my moment of, oh, my God, they've gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
You get like a wine?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They went too far when they put pumpkin spice in beer.
And the legions of pumpkin spice fans.
No.
Anyway, about the beer.
Yeah.
So this would not traditionally be my jam.
No.
But it's actually pretty pleasant.
Jam.
Grape jam. Would not be my jelly in this case.
Yes, exactly.
Usually I'm not a big fan of grapes or wine grapes in my beer. But this is,
as a saison,
this isn't unpleasant.
It's a well-balanced beer.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
It's as successful as a saison.
Yeah.
Throw the grapes in on top. It's pretty nice.
I'm almost getting like a thing that reminds me of apple juice or something weird.
Yeah. I'm getting almost a menthol-y thing, which I'm finding very pleasant, but it's clearly a grape characteristic that I'm just not naming very well.
So menthol, it might be there's a compound in grapes that aren't completely ripened or don't get exposed to enough sunshine. It's called methoxypyrazine. And some people refer to it as, sorry, winemaker guy talking.
No, perfect. That's awesome.
Yeah, methoxypyrazine, sometimes people identify it as like green pepper or... Mm-hmm. Asparagus notes, mm-hmm. And if you've ever had a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, a classic one, they have a strong component of methoxypyrazine, but it can also, in subtler amounts, like grapes that were nearly perfectly ripe, can come off like a vegetal, mm-hmm. herbaceous,
yes.
kind of okay. like cross between hay, and I can see how you could pull menthol out of that.
I'm getting a very herby thing from herbaceous.
As long as it's not asparagus pea. That's the worst smell ever.
Some people can't smell that.
Yeah, I know, and that I wish I was one of them.
Dude, stop eating asparagus, man.
I'm with you.
No, asparagus is amazing. I love asparagus.
But yeah, you know what? You can edit this part out. I love my asparagus, but I once went into a men's restroom in a Morton Steakhouse in Chicago, and I'd eaten all of the asparagus, right? So I'm standing there taking a piss in this you know, $300 a plate steakhouse, and the guy beside me starts retching, and he can't finish his piss. He has to like zip up and run out.
The best thing on the Morton's menu is that molten lava cake.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Jesus Christ.
If only they knew how to make a steak.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just like happy as a clam, and he's like,
what the fuck?
Oh, God.
Brilliant.
Clamp and move.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He stopped in midstream and left. I'm like... That's some discipline, dude. You could have just puked and finished.
Funny part is, I don't find it disgusting. It's very strong.
Very strong, yeah. It's pretty aggressive.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Need to catch myself here. That's awesome.
Oh, dear.
But, like, I am not a fan of wine. I just don't enjoy it.
Don't
but
have to.
Blended with a beer, I think this is really well blended. I've had a lot of wine beer hybrids,
mm-hmm.
and I've enjoyed most of them. Because everything I don't like about wine, once it's blended with beer, it kind of the things I don't like kind of disappear, and it blends in nicely with the different grains or the spices from a saison like this, and it just becomes really drinkable.
Cool.
I'm honestly just really curious about exactly how they integrated the grape must in.
I'm gonna go all in on this and say they probably did a primary fermentation of the beer And when it dropped to by like 8 or 9 or 10 Plato, they probably introduced the grape must afterwards.
Okay.
Because the saison, they're fermenting it warm, probably. Mm-hmm. So if you put the grape must in initially, you'd get a hell of a fermentation. You might blow off most of the aromatics.
Mm, okay.
So if they didn't blend wine and beer to finished wine and beer together, then they probably introduced the must when the beer was already almost finished, and they could drop the temperature, because the sugars in grape juice are so easily fermentable. They're all fructose and glucose, so beers just burn through them like nothing. So
right,
probably post fermentation. Post-ish.
I don't know the legalities in Canada, but I know in the States, you cannot ferment, or you cannot add final fermented wine to your combined beer. So it has to be a grape must of some sort of grape juice.
After 30 years in the industry,
I'm not saying they don't do it.
There are certain cases where you add fresh grape must at zero Brix to the finished.
I'm not saying they don't do it. It's just like a lot of places, it's not legal to just pour in a whiskey, but a lot of places do it.
And
but
the difference being there is,
and I'm glad to hear that none of our BC breweries have ever done that or even contemplated it.
Right.
I've never heard of anybody pouring a bottle of whiskey into a cask.
Never happened.
Nope. We'd just like to thank our sponsor, the BC Liquor Distribution Board.
Hey, if they would sponsor us, I'll take it.
So tonight's tasting of Coors Light is Coors Regular, Coors Banquet, and Coors Light.
Oh, tastes like shit. Now to the good beers. Are they going to bring back Coors Light iced tea? I mean, Clit.
Wow. That's an acronym I haven't heard before.
I actually tweeted Coors Light, or Coors, whatever, and I asked them when Coors Light iced tea would come back. Bracket C.L.I.T. Bracket.
Wow.
And they're like, well, we're not sure, but if you phone this number.
Didn't even acknowledge.
No. They did not even acknowledge it.
I can just see the marketer person replying like this.
You may have single-handedly killed that product.
In some ways, no, it was already gone. That was the thing. And I actually know someone who is a big craft beer person that actually really liked that beer, and good for them. And that's where they said they had liked it, and I'm like, wait a minute. That acronym, it is like, that's this is problem. Like one of the worst like marketing to women things ever. Mm. So I was, I was blown away. I was expecting a no response, or like, I was expecting to get this response, like some kind of corporate speak, or
please
just nothing.
Don't use that acronym.
And they send me a phone number, and I'm like, oh, this died. Like,
wow,
gone away.
Yeah, they didn't feed into it. Eh?
Yeah, I was really hoping they would, because I was being an asshole.
Brilliant,
always fun.
Yes, it is.
So, when you post these things, do you put whether it was the first, second, or third episode of the evening?
People can figure that.
We usually just say, third episode. 10th episode,
I'm thinking the third of the evenings are going to be the most entertaining.
Well, if we all have the space in our livers for more, I've got another episode lined up.
Oh, Jesus. This could get messy.
It could. Well, let's wrap this one up. It's a short one anyways. We had the Twisted Hazy Pink Guava Pale Ale and the Wasted Grape Gewurztraminer Saison.
I like the guava. I wasn't a big fan of the Gewurztraminer.
I think they weren't both. I think neither of them were failed beers. The guava is one I would seek out and drink on a hot day. And the Gewurztraminer is interesting. As it's warming up a little, it's kind of showing a bit more of the fruit of the
Gewurztraminer.
Yeah. I think it's got some potential.
And it's funny, as a guy that hates wine, I'm going to go with the Wasted Grape myself.
Interesting.
Good man.
Yeah. I mean, hey, sometimes when you blend flavors together, they can become something you like.
Absolutely.
Right? Hey, man, I like dark lagers. I hate yellow fizzy lagers, right? You blend the flavors together.
There you go.
You got your chocolate in my peanut butter.
Exactly. What about you, Steve? Which one would you pick out of the two?
I'll be honest, they're kind of a tie. They're
really?
It's straight up. The guava is just, it's nice. It's pleasant. I would take it on a hot day in the Okanagan. The Wasted Grape, much more interesting. I would sit and drink that and think about it, like let it warm up and get interested. But
it's a sipper.
It's a sipper, but I really enjoy it.
Without being a big alcohol sipper, it's a sipper.
Yeah.
It's got something to think about.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Cheers.
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 Part of the Hopped Up Network. Here is a sample of one of the podcasts you can check out by going to hoppedupnetwork.com. This is Brew Crime, a craft beer and true crime podcast. I'm Mike.
And I am Beck, and we are your hosts.
On Brew Crime, we each take a true crime story and we pair it with a craft beer.
You can find our show on your favorite podcast apps. If you can't find it, contact us and we'll try to change that.
We can be found at www.brewcrime.com or on Twitter at Brew Crime, and also on all the social media platforms for Pacific Beer Chat at Pacific Beer Chat. We can also be found at brewcrime@pacificbeerchat.com.
Join us as we discuss depraved killers, stupid criminals, and likely some completely unrelated tangents.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoy Pacific Beer Chat and would like to help make the show even better, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/pacificbeerchat, or click on our support tab on the website and check out our affiliate links. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as hoppedupnetwork.com or pacificbeerchat.com. Leave us a review on iTunes to help raise our exposure and just get us more listeners. Drop us a line at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. And to play us out, here is Lothian by Conundrum by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.